Well, Merry Christmas. And indeed, we should all be very merry, because on this great feast, we celebrate, as the angel announces to the shepherds, the coming of our Savior, the one who will redeem us, who will forgive our sins, reconcile us to the Father. How? Because God has come down to us, that he is truly God and truly man, Jesus Christ, who saves us from our sins. You know, one of my favorite parts of Mass, and after all, Christmas, Christ Mass, is about Mass, is when your gifts come up at the offertory. The deacon has a moment where he takes a little drop of water and drips it into the wine in the chalice. And as he does that, he prays, "By the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity." See, that's what we're celebrating. Just as that water and wine are inextricably mingled together, so in Jesus Christ, the divine nature of God and our human nature have been so mingled, so united, they are inseparably linked. And so we too can be like that little drop of water, totally immersed, totally suffused in the divine life of God. And so there is no sorrow that Christ cannot heal and bring joy to. There is no question to which he does not have an answer. There is no pain to which he cannot bring healing, no hopelessness to which he cannot bring hope. And that is what we celebrate. And again, that is why I say we should be merry. But I have not really explained yet why I'm saying that. Let me tell you a little story. A couple of weeks ago, our religious education program, our prep students, have their annual Christmas pageant, which is always quite entertaining. We give them literally one day to prepare for this. So, you know, with the amount of time they have to prepare, they do a really phenomenal job. And as you can imagine, it's very entertaining, cute as a button. But when they're done with it, they then go down to Britt Hall and they have a little reception. And so the other week, I went down to the reception a little bit late. And when I got down there, I discovered this little girl. She must have been like a fourth grader. And I could tell that she must have been one of the kids who was in the actual pageant, because she was all dressed up real fancy in a little Christmas outfit and all that. But while everybody else was sitting around talking and having their party, she had a broom in her hands. And she was sweeping up all the popcorn and chips that were under the table, you know, that people had made a mess of. So I walked over to her and I said, "Oh, you're doing a great job there. And who are you in the pageant tonight?" And she looked up at me and she said, "I was Mary." And I was struck by that. You know, I mean, in the Christmas pageant, Mary, she's like the most important person, you know. She's the star of the show. But here's the little girl who was Mary in the pageant. And at the party, when she went down after the Christmas pageant, she swept up the floor, swept up everybody else's mess. I said, "Kid, you're the best Mary I've ever seen." I said, "Our Blessed Mother will be very pleased with you right now." And see, that's really what I'm saying when I say to you, we should all be merry at Christmas time. You know, Merry Christmas, M-A-R-Y. That's what we should all have. Now, you might say, well, why bring Mary to the focus here? Because isn't Christmas all about Jesus Christ? And so that's certainly true. But we know that whenever we focus on Mary, we are simply focusing on how best to love and how best to understand Jesus Christ and the new life, the salvation that he offers to us. That's why we look to Mary. And so we can do that in two ways. First, in a kind of big picture way. You know, 2017 was a kind of special year for Mary. It was the 100th anniversary of Our Lady's apparitions at Fatima. And the great miracle of the sun, you know, where literally thousands of people, believers and non-believers alike, witnessed the power of God. And what Our Lady said at Fatima, she said, "In the end, my immaculate heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and she will be converted, and a period of peace will be granted to the world." What is Christmas all about if not peace? Peace on earth, goodwill to men, right? That's what the angels proclaim. And what does Jesus come to do, after all? He comes to bring us into a just relationship with God, a right relationship by the forgiveness of our sins. And in that way, to bring us peace. So practically, what does that mean? How is Jesus going to bring about peace on earth? Well, he makes it clear to Fatima, his peace plan is his mother. And she teaches us the way to peace. What does she say to Fatima? Pray, pray, pray every day. Sacrifice, 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 to make the little offerings and sacrifices in reparation out of love for Jesus and Mary, to wear the brown scapular, to pray the rosary, all these things that we as Catholics are familiar of. But until we as the church really are converted, until we really live this life of Christ that Mary teaches us to live, we cannot be the instrument of bringing peace to the world that Jesus wants us to be. So Mary is the peace plan for the world that Jesus gives us. But again, not in just that kind of big picture way, but also in all the details of our daily life. Mary is our great teacher. How do we take the incarnation, how do we take this great grace of Christmas and make it meet the practicalities of everyday life? Well, Mary teaches us to do that through the daily rosary. The daily rosary, what is that? Except that the way that we ask Mary to pray for us, and then at the same time, we think about the life of Jesus. We meditate on all those significant things and learn how to apply them to our own life. A great example of this is the new Luminous Mysteries of the Rosary. You may remember about a decade or so ago, St. John Paul II added a new set of mysteries to the Rosary, the Luminous Mysteries. But see, these are not just important because they're about important moments in the life of Jesus, certainly, but also they are very much our lesson plan as Catholics for today, for how to be a good Catholic in the modern world in 2017. Think about these luminous mysteries. First luminous mystery is the baptism of our Lord in the Jordan. And again, Jesus at Christmas gives us the grace of salvation. Well, that's great, but how do we actually receive that grace? In the sacrament of baptism, right? That's the way. Jesus says to Nicodemus in the gospel, unless one is born again of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's a pretty important line that Jesus gives us. And yet today, fewer and fewer people get their children baptized, that we don't give our children that most important gift of all. And so Our Lady in the Rosary teaches us to think about the great sacrament of baptism, to understand how it impacts our lives. What's the second luminous mystery? The wedding feast at Cana. Yes, marriage, obviously a timely topic for today. What is marriage? It is something that has been instituted by God himself. That when Jesus Christ was here on earth, he himself blessed. It is the great symbol of God's love in the world. And yet today, fewer and fewer people are getting married. And of course, the divorce rate is way up there. So many of us have the experience of broken families. We need to pray for strong, good, holy marriages. That's what Our Lady wants us to do. And of course, we live in a country today that has redefined what marriage even means, to include the idea of same-sex marriage and all of that. And let's be clear, as Catholics, what should our attitude be towards people who are gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender? Well, we should love those people. We don't treat them any differently than we treat anyone else. In fact, I wish that every LGBT person in Hebron, Burlington, and Petersburg belonged here to Immaculate Heart of Mary. That's where they should be. You know, we are all sinners. We are called to support one another and journey with one another into the faith. But of course, at the same time, we are called to learn and to teach the truths of the gospel, including the truth that marriage made by God is for one man and one woman. This is what we are called to show to people. And so again, marriage is something very important for our time. Our Lady calls us each day to reflect upon its value. What's the third luminous mystery? The proclamation of the kingdom of God, the announcement of the gospel. I mean, I hardly need to explain this one. This is the new evangelization that the popes have been talking about now for quite a while. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, he used to say, "There are not 100 people in the United States who hate the Catholic Church, but there are millions of people throughout the world who hate what they perceive the Catholic Church to be." There's so much misinformation, misunderstanding. So many people have not really had the opportunity to learn what the Catholic Church is all about, what the Catholic Church really teaches. And my friends, it is our job, it is our vocation to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the world around us. You know, we have a new movement here in our parish, beginning in our diocese, called the United Catholic Movement. What's the whole purpose? Simply for us to invite our fellow Catholics back to Mass so that they can come and see the joy of this new life, this salvation that Jesus Christ offers to us. So, you know, that's our job. Next week, next Sunday, just to invite someone with us to church. Again, Mary calls us to reflect on that role. The fourth luminous mystery, don't worry, there's only five of these, remember now. The fourth luminous mystery is the transfiguration, where Jesus, before his apostles, is glorified, right? They begin to understand that he is divine. How, again, important that is in this relativistic age, where people so often say, well, Jesus was such a great moral teacher, right? You know, like Buddha and Gandhi and these people. Well, no, Jesus did not claim to be a great moral teacher. He claimed to be God. What kind of great moral teacher says things like, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple"? What kind of great moral teacher says, "Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me"? Those are not the words of a great moral teacher. Someone who says that is either an absolute lunatic, a damnable liar, or he is who he says he is, the Lord God Almighty. And so again, Our Lady in this mystery calls us to reflect more deeply on the truth of her Son. Finally, the fifth luminous mystery is the institution of the Eucharist at the Last Supper. And this, again, is so relevant to our celebration of Christmas as we think of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, right? The incarnation is not just something that happened thousands of years ago. In the Eucharist, every time we come to Mass, we as Catholics are literally able to touch and to taste the human flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. This is why Mass is so important. And yet, again, fewer and fewer Catholics go to Sunday Mass, and we become more and more comfortable with receiving the communion when we're in a state of sin, receiving him sacrilegiously. Our Lady calls us to reflect on the great gift of Jesus in the Eucharist. Again, this Christ Mass, this Mass of Christ that we're celebrating, right? That we, just as we are called to have Jesus at the center of our life, so Mary reminds us that we are to have Sunday Mass and the Eucharist at the center of our week. So, you see there in these wonderful luminous mysteries how Mary wants to teach us every day how to take the great grace of Jesus' incarnation, the great gift of Christmas, and apply it every day to our lives. So whether it's looking at the big picture or looking at the everyday picture, we go, as all the saints did, to Jesus through Mary. And if we want Christmas to not just be the celebration of one day or even of one liturgical season, but that every day to be a celebration of the grace of Christmas, then we ask Our Lady. We ask Our Lady to be with us, to teach us, so that we can receive and live out these great graces that Christ gives us today. And so, again, my friends, and understand what I'm saying, I wish you all a very Merry Christmas.